November 30th, 1999 represented a triumphal moment for worldwide civil resistance against the global economic system that gives private corporations more power than governments. In the morning hours of November 30th, 1999, tens of thousands of activists from across the globe converged in the streets of downtown Seattle to shut down meetings of the World Trade Organization, the undemocratic international governing forum of neoliberal globalization. The conflict became infamous around the world, partially because of the violent police response to the largely peaceful demonstrations. In years since, November 30th has been remembered in the streets of Seattle and around the globe, with marches, rallies, and celebrations of resistance. Dialogues about the effectiveness of the movement have multiplied in number both within and beyond activist circles. The date is also remembered as the birth of the independent media center, indymedia.org. Up next, we look back to the historic anti-WTO protest of 5 years ago. The audio collage you're about to hear is a compilation of voices recorded both in the streets of Seattle and from phone calls into the studio of Free Radio Santa Cruz. This collage was produced by Vinny Lombardo, aka V-Man, and features contributions from Freak Radio programmers past and present. Thanks to Eon Blues, Old Lady Scar Arms, Mistress Violet, Phil Free, and fellow worker Will, and of course, V-Man. Without them, this program would not have been possible. We first hear from an organizer at the Convergence Space, ground zero for activists gathering in Seattle to organize anti-WTO protests.
This space is a project of Art and Revolution and the Direct Action Network, which is a coalition of activists which have come together from a lot of different organizations to protest the WTO. So we're here for 8 days at the Convergence Space to provide resources and training for folks to prepare for the WTO's arrival next week. We've got a lot of nonviolent direct action trainings going on, legal and jail solidarity trainings. We're doing a lot of also media, video media, micro radio, media messaging with people as well. We've also got huge amounts of theater and puppet making going on.
So first, can you tell us about some of the resources that you're offering to people?
We've got also got Seeds for Peace here, which is doing a lot of food cooking for us, which is really awesome. And we are doing what we can to provide housing for people. We've been trying to locate spaces between homestays and warehouses and a bunch of different options to house as many people as we can because, like you said, there are thousands of people coming here. And we're trying to do everything we can to get the logistics in order so that they can come here and do what they've come here to do, which is to shut down the WTO.
I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about affinity groups and how they work and how people are meeting and organizing about what's going to happen on the 30th.
Okay. So besides the large procession, which we're planning for the 30th, which will just be a huge procession with lots of theater and puppets and folks doing fun stuff, we're also coordinating affinity group actions. So we've got people organizing into affinity groups to kind of figure out exactly what they're going to do to stop the WTO from meeting. And what is happening here is we're providing space for those affinity groups to meet and resources to help them do their recon, figure out exactly what's going on as far as maps and that kind of stuff. And we've got spokes council meetings happening each night to coordinate those actions. So we've got one representative from each affinity group meeting to coordinate exactly what's going to happen so that we're all on the same page and we can make this happen.
There's been jail solidarity trainings, peaceful protest trainings. They've been passing out, I think, boxes of cell phones to affinity groups. They've been forming affinity groups. There's legal counsel, there's medics, and basically they serve food and you can talk to people about what's going on.
Training people on nonviolence techniques, on legal techniques, how to just the whole range of how we are going to combat this puppet making and kind of the artistic side of things and all of this action going on in this one epicenter space for people to branch out from there and just do a whole bunch of actions.
People have come here to Seattle because they don't want to see our local and state control co-opted without representation. They don't want to see the World Trade Organization allow corporations to rule our lives. And we are going to put an end to it right here, right now, in Seattle. We are not letting these people in the building today.
Woo. What about trees?
The global free logging agreement could be the worst thing that's ever happened for industrial forestry.
The WTO is got a lot of problems with it. Any global institution has problems with it. Institutions have institutional values and not human values. And a global institution can in no way be anything other than a huge and very powerful organization. And when organizations are powerful, it means people are powerless. What's happened in the WTO's particular case is that nation states have had, in the name of free trade, to bow down and give up their sovereign powers in the face of world trade restrictions that the WTO imposes. And multinational corporations have now begun to just use nation-state governments and the World Trade Organization as tools to remove any barriers to trade. Well, what would a barrier to trade be? A barrier to trade would be something that protects people or protects the earth or protects human rights. And in every single case that's been brought before the WTO, human rights, labor, the environment have always lost, and trade in the form of multinational corporations has always won. So basically the WTO is a big powerful institution to rip away our rights and to rip away the vestiges of sustainability that we have in our systems. And that's why every person who has studied the WTO has come to the conclusion that unless you're rich and powerful, it's not for you.
My name is Dr. Stuart Bramhall. I'm a psychiatrist.
Can you tell us why you're here protesting the WTO?
Well, I guess my main concern is that the WTO has the ability to undo democratically enacted laws related to labor and to the environment and to human rights. And I've been involved in the human rights movement for many years, and it's just very painful to see these laws that we've struggled for being countermanded, you know, by this secret tribunal that runs the WTO.
There's plenty of fat cat capitalists and bureaucrats that are trying to slice up the global pie today, and we're just saying no business as usual.
So you're just using your bodies to stop them from getting to their business?
We're doing everything we can to be as effective as we can.
And why exactly are you out here today?
To fight corporate greed and end the exploitation of the planet and all its people.
The people, united, will never be divided.
WTO is like a symptom of imperialism. The main problem with WTO, and from my perspective, is not like trade disputes with Europe, but it's what they're going to do to people in the third world, in places like the Philippines or Indonesia, where like part of the Seattle Round, they call it, is to reduce tariffs on agriculture, which the effect of that is going to be, like it was in NAFTA, when NAFTA was passed in 1994, it caused like a bankrupting of millions of Mexican farmers, of peasants, and huge shanty towns in Mexico City. I think that the effect of WTO is going to be to bankrupt like peasants around the world and force them into conditions of like where they're desperate to work for any of these sweatshops, Nike, whatever.
Can I get the attention of the delegates of the farmers community? If you guys can come up to the van and speak on the loudspeaker so everybody can hear you. The delegates from the farm, you guys over there, the delegates from the farm industry, if you guys want to come over and speak.
Yeah! Yeah! I'm raging because I'm trying to talk and you guys are talking over me. You guys are just trying to get to the office, I understand. But you also have to understand that there's so much going on and there's so much corruption because of these decisions. And I'm sure you understand that. But our opinions are so different, yet...
Like, not different. I say I've got a lot of appreciation for what you're doing.
Right.
So I expect you to have appreciation for what I'm trying to do. You're fighting from here.
Everything's doing great, everybody.
I'm trying to fight from within. I've been sent on behalf of Africa, Southern Africa, to try and fight from within.
In the fight, so you say,
I'm representing
innocent people are getting stepped on and murdered. You know, that's not...
If you're talking about murder, that's my country you're talking about.
Members are being murdered.
It's my members being murdered, not you people standing around here.
It's not about you, though.
My family, my people.
It's not about you. They're not your people. They're their own people.
My people have been murdered. My people have
been murdered. By the system, that it's not about individuals.
Some delegates are trying to get out over here. Block them over here.
here. I'm saying, I don't blame you for what you're doing. I'm not a governmental person or anything like that. I'm a mace for
them. So they can exit over here. They can exit around.
Come speech, speech.
The Barnes & Noble sign. Everything is okay.
Tell them how the WTO is hurting
you. We'd like to hear about what you're talking about.
But you're not listening.
I think that most of the delegates that are involved have been thoroughly shooken up, not only for their own questions about their own safety, but I think also thinking about what it is that they're doing and the message that has now been sent around the world. There is no doubt at all that we have changed the course of the WTO. It's still not clear whether or not we can shut this organization down for good. I believe that we can, but at this point, they are going to, in every aspect of the work that they are doing, going to have to account for a huge portion of the world's population that are going to be not just opposed, but opposed and taking action against what it is that they've tried to do up until now. And so I think we're having a huge effect, even though they are meeting.
We don't have the vote.
No vote.
We don't have the speech.
No speech.
Sixth and Union was where the 120 Santa Cruz representatives held the intersection and blocked delegates from entering. Such actions around about a dozen intersections around the convention center postponed the opening proceedings of the WTO conference. And the police force decided at one point that this was suddenly an illegal assembly and pulled out that tear gas, pulled out the rubber bullets, and started shooting, and it hurt. It hurt like hell. Every one of us there felt it. Some had prepared more with gas masks. Other of us were wearing handkerchiefs with the solution to cut the spray. Everyone there knew that this is a new step in police repression in this country. Some folks have mentioned that, you know, it's only the tip of what the military and the police forces in this country perpetuate around the world. However, to see this on the front page of Seattle's Times makes it so clear of what we're facing here in the next few years.
Let's see. Well, I just want to add that from about 8 in the morning to about 12:30, that line was held encircling the entire convention center. There was about 8 points around the convention center that were held. Amazing number of people joining arms, because people were sneaking in through like hotels, back alleys, everything. So all these places were sealed off. And they held it, and then it was broken up. But there was an amazing skirmish after that, I just wanted to mention. It was really interesting that people formed a line again, one block up from the original spot, and held a line there. That place got pepper sprayed. They ended up getting, eventually, through the end of the day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was at 3rd and Union, 3 blocks from the original action, and the final line is being held right there. So people were getting pepper sprayed and then kind of falling back and then regrouping and being able to, you know, once again, like, come around.
It was completely calm and peaceful from 7:30 until about 9:30, 10 in the morning, when they decided to start tear gassing people, and instead of arresting people because they have people infiltrating us and they know all JR's solidarity tactics, so they started tear gassing. There was 36 people locked down, sitting down in 2 lines blocking the entrance of Santa Cruz people. I know everyone I know is like made it, as far as I know, everyone made it out okay, but I know when I was right there, when it all happened, it was a huge cloud of smoke, and there was people on the ground getting shot with tear gas, pepper spray pellets and rubber bullets, and so I'm sure a couple people maybe got busted. If not, they got hurt.
We set up the tripod as soon as we got to this intersection in the morning, and we started marching, this group from Seattle Community College, 8:30 or so.
Okay, so what is this, an affinity group? What's your affiliation here?
Well, I've been doing contact improv dance, which I do in Santa Cruz where I'm from, and a lot of drumming. Just been kind of trading off. It's been really interesting. I'm really pleased with our success. You know, when I came up here from Santa Cruz, I was thinking, well, you know, if we just get it in the major media on the front page, that'll be a success. And then when I heard that they were expecting to block delegates, I thought, well, it'll be a success if we can keep them out for a couple hours. But basically, we shut down the session in the morning for sure, and it looks like if they had anything going on in the afternoon, from what I'm hearing, that it was kind of half-baked. So, that's cool. We did it.
The group I was with tried to participate in the blocking the WTO meeting. Met quite a bit of tear gas and made it quite difficult for the delegates to get in. Some of them did get escorted through our lines by the police. This was my first try with tear gas and pepper spray, and we were sitting in the intersection, got good load of tear gas, followed by
cop came up and lifted up my hood and hit me in the face with the pepper spray.
Before they started using gas, it was a totally peaceful protest, and they told us, we are not going to use violence if you remain peaceful, and nobody here broke the peace code. But they warned us. They said, we're going to start using chemical agents, 5 minutes. And then they just started throwing bombs. They threw four different bombs, like maybe 2 minutes apart. As one would clear out, they would throw the next one. And it cleared out a lot of people, but the lockdown people and their support weren't going anywhere. They're staying, and they're still here. And so after that, and there's still people around with gas masks, they brought the pepper spray. And we're spraying people, trying to like use that as a tactic to scare them off, to get them out of here. And then after that, they cleared everyone out. They had the lockdown people pepper sprayed and tear gassed, totally isolated. They weren't allowing any medics in, and they're just totally shielding everyone. They had them totally isolated, and they finally opened it up and let it back in. But even since then, they've been using pepper spray. Like 5 minutes ago, they pepper sprayed the people standing in the line about, you know, 30 feet away that we can see right there.
We all had gas masks on. They're pulling the gas masks off, spraying into the masks, and then putting the masks back down on and holding them down while they were beating us.
With pepper spray.
With pepper spray. Then as they were getting us pulled apart, people would help us out, and more people coming and sitting down, and we held the street. They never got by at all.
The cops tear gassed us earlier when we were doing a blockade, and when they did the tear gas, they threw lots of tear gas at us as well as pepper spray, and people started running away, and the cops were advancing, and a little boy was getting trampled by both the people walking away, but mostly by the police. And an older woman jumped in to try to pull the boy away and was hit many times with rubber bullets and with tear gas and with pepper spray.
The gas they used on Wednesday was like CS gas, they told me, which is like a military tear gas they used in, they used it in South Africa, I know, in the 80s against the black people. And they used it in Israel to like suppress the Palestinians.
This just shows that civil liberties are in serious jeopardy in this country. And if we don't take action, direct action in the streets like this to defend the liberties we have left, we will soon be living in a complete fascist state. And all the indicators are there. I mean, the military's huger than any sort of social services or programs we have. And our civil liberties are just getting chiseled away bit by bit.
Now, there's some rampant criticism of the groups of anarchists who've decided to take matters into their own hands. What do you think about this?
At first, I was, we're all in the same movement. Some of us choose different tactics and different strategies. And I think we need to, you know, maintain solidarity within our movement, not let ourselves be divided by people trying to label some of us terrorists. But at the time, I felt like it's things I support, but I just felt it was very much the wrong place at the wrong time. But now, seeing the reports that have been coming out, how the police have been extremely brutal before any incidences of property destruction, and afterwards also, and how they brutally attacked completely nonviolent protesters, I feel like it's justified. And I think if we take $9 million out of their pockets, good, that's a start.
I was standing outside of Starbucks, and I saw someone take something, one of those newspaper holders, and smashed it through the window of Starbucks. And he jumped into the window, ran into Starbucks, unlocked the door, opened the door, and said, Starbucks is open, everybody.
The big thing that happened on the 30th, of course, is that the largest, most powerful organization in the world came with 5,000 delegates and 3,000 members of the press to the town of Seattle, and we denied them an opportunity to meet. We literally shut down the entire WTO, and that was a thing of beauty. And we did it with only 22 arrests and not a single major injury to anybody on any side. What happened that day also was that the leaders of the city of Seattle and the police department were thoroughly, thoroughly embarrassed by what had happened. They clearly were not in control of the streets. For once, the people were in control of the streets. And when you embarrass a cop and make a cop feel like he or she is not in authority, you know that revenge is coming. And revenge came yesterday on December the 1st. Police went out in total ignorance of people's rights and even human decency. They unleashed their batons and their tear gas and their pepper spray and their mace on nonviolent protesters in a way that had nothing to do with crowd control. In fact, they were trying to drive the crowd into a frenzy so that they could up the level of any of fighting that happened. People were amazingly peaceful yesterday, and took a lot of abuse.
We were all gathering for a very clearly nonviolent demonstration, and really without provocation, we were attacked repeatedly by police, and these were down city streets, and often we were led down one street running away from tear gas and rubber bullets, only to be confronted by police coming the other way and kind of herded around the city, really chased around the city, trying to create a tremendous amount of panic among the demonstrators. There was no warnings given for any of this before any of these actions were taken.
There were quite a few labor people, but some people had separated from the labor group. What we heard is that some of the labor people got gassed on their own in another place. A lot of us separated, and we were a large group, and as we got to one street, they fired the tear gas on us, and it seemed to be much stronger tear gas than they used the day before. And they just pretty much, we were corralled each way, but it didn't seem like the cops really knew what they were doing, because they didn't give us a place to go.
They kind of cornered you guys?
They kept going, they kept following us, and then they'd be on the other side, and so they'd pin us in a little bit.
Do you think they knew that they were attacking when they shot the tear gas at the labor people? Do you think it was pointed? Did they know who they were firing at, or were they just doing it to everybody?
They have done it without discrimination. I don't think they really know what's going on. They're not even aware of a lot of the issues and the importance of why we're here. And so when they're firing at people, they're not giving much regard for who they are or why they're standing. So they fired on labor people, environmental people. There's a number of local residents who have not only been gassed but also been arrested. Yeah. There was one demonstration that was mostly local residents in protest, and of course they just rained down tear gas on all of them. So it's really set even the local community largely against the police.
The steel workers had a march outside of the no protest zone down First Street, and when they got to the Pike Place Market, a big vegetable fish market, they got tear gassed in the market where people were shopping. It's a huge market. It was the steelworkers. It was completely peaceful, of course. And everyone was standing there and just shopping, and there was people in suits around, tourists, everything. And all of a sudden, the steelworkers come around, and there's like a couple thousand strong, and they just tear gassed the hell out of them, and people were running and screaming. 7 o'clock when the curfew went into effect, about 500 people met downtown at Pike and Third, and they had a big circle. They were oming and sitting there, and the cops came and just watched them, didn't do anything. They went up to the police captain that was there and told him that they were going to peacefully walk out at 6:45 and be out of downtown by 7. They were like, don't tear gas us. We're just walking peacefully. Nothing's going to happen. So they let them walk, and they made it to Capitol Hill onto Broadway, the main street on Capitol Hill, where there's just all restaurants and shops, and they met up with about a couple hundred of us. And we marched down Broadway. We got to Pike Street, and a paddy wagon drove through and tried to get through the crowd. One person sat in front of it. The passenger jumped out, started pulling the guy out from there. All of a sudden, the riot squad starts throwing concussion grenades, like blowing up right at our heads, shooting everyone with plastic bullets. They completely instigated it. It was a peaceful march that went from all the way downtown up. They were marching for like an hour and a half. It was peaceful. Nothing happened. And they just instigated the whole thing. They tear gassed everybody with military strength tear gas, pepper gas. This stuff is way stronger than yesterday. It carries for like 3-4 blocks. And when they did that, everyone split into alleys and side streets. And the riot squad, for some reason, went all the way down Broadway, the main street with all the shops, even though there was probably only like 20 people running down it, and tear gas for like 6 blocks down restaurants and people everywhere.
Going in, we're like one of the, like, of non-compliance. This is our legal strategy, that we were going to not give our names. It's just not against the law. It's our constitutional right to remain silent. You don't have to give your name. You can imagine that there was a bit of a backlog. Bureaucratically, this totally, you know, messed things up for them. The reason that about half the people got their charges dropped is because they just couldn't figure out the paperwork. They couldn't put the arrest reports together with this and that.
The jail solidarity all along has been to refuse to cooperate. People are being arraigned and being asked to leave, and they're refusing to leave jail in many cases. People have refused to sign out. Quite a number of people have refused to eat, refused to walk, and are having to be carried around, and of course refusing to talk to their captors. This is an appropriate way for political prisoners to behave, and these people are political prisoners against neoliberalism.
I think that this whole thing has been a huge success, and I'm really calling on people to unite, like anarchists, like pacifists, like labor people, environmentalists. You know, I'm personally a communist. I think that, you know, it's clear that the government is attacking everyone. You know, we need to unite about, like, the future of the world is really up to us. And to get there, that's, you know, we're going to have to, like, put aside, like, not allow them to sow division. One thing that's going to happen, I think, after this week is that they're going to, like, single out a very few number of people to prosecute and to try to vilify and say, like, these are the criminals that, you know, really upset this for everyone and why we were forced to attack you.
Right.
And rewrite history, really. I mean, the mayor's already apologizing, but at the same time threatening people. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a test of everyone to stand behind whoever they single out as, like, the real, you know, the real criminals, according to them, and continue to, like, put out the truth of, like, it's the WTO that's a million times more criminal than a broken window or a looted Starbucks, you know what I mean? And so that's what I really think people have to do.
You just heard a collage produced by Vinny Lombardo, a.k.a. V-Man, featuring contributions from Freak Radio programmers past and present, including Eon Blues, Old Lady Scar Arms, Mistress Violet, Phil Free, and fellow worker Will. For more information on Free Radio Santa Cruz, visit freakradio.org. For more information on the anti-WTO protest in Seattle, visit thisisdemocracy.org.